The following interview was conducted by Mike Malevsky on April 29th, 2014. Greg Gussie had just returned from a trip to the South. Enjoy. Well, it's my great pleasure to be in the studio today in the presence of one of Alaska's great figures, one of the great figures of the Palmer universe. And I'm going to use those terms because the Palmer universe is different. We say we do things different here. I believe we're going to demonstrate just how different that is. So I can say welcome to Greg Gussie. Welcome, Greg.
Well, thank you, Michael.
You have been on a trip.
A long, strange trip.
Right. But you're, in some sense, back. You're back here in Palmer. Tell us where you've been.
Well, I took a one-way trip to a little place called Ajo, Arizona, without any anticipations of returning. Even got to a place called the Curly School, which is full of harlequin folks who were just like me.
Ah. So in some sense, as you're talking, I'm thinking end of the road.
It was the end of the road, but as things would happen, there was a shift in the universe, the Palmer universe, that apparently wanted to call me back.
Okay. So after spending how long there?
Well, my whole trip was 87 days.
Okay.
It was not as long as most people probably wished.
We remember you were gone, and now you're back. Did you drive down? How did that work?
Well, when I left Palmer, I couldn't drive, so my son came and drove me down to California, Southern California, just a couple hundred miles from Ajo. And I sent him home and made a few visits around Southern California and Tijuana. And then went off to Ajo to finish my day.
Okay, and by then, were you driving yourself? Or?
I did drive myself, but I shouldn't probably have.
Oh, okay.
I was mentally able to drive because I'd quit all my medications, but I was physically still fairly incapacitated.
But you took your time and obviously arrived safely.
I did, And had a great time in Ajo. As I said, the people there were crazy, just like me, and probably equally crippled physically and mentally. And we're all, the place in Ajo is an artist colony, so to speak. Well, impoverished artist colony. So that adds another element to it.
Okay, and then how far from, say, Phoenix is that, or Tucson?
Either way, about 100, 110 miles.
Okay. Some kind of desert environment or?
Yeah, about as much Sonoran desert as you can get.
Oh, well, yeah. Wonderful.
So, in fact, Ajo is just north of the border. Soñata is the name of the border city, and it borders also on the Oregon Pipe National Monument, Oregon okay. Pipe Cactus. I should make that accurate.
So, of all the places in the world, you're in Southern California, which some people would say is a pretty remarkable warm environment. How was it that you chose that place?
Well, Ajo was as far away from anyone who loved me as I possibly could get, which was the reason for the choice. I was being loved to death here, which is a typical way things go. And there was discussion of hospice and all kinds of nasty things that I didn't want to do. And I, finished my do not resuscitate and all the rest of those things and thought about my poor wife. Should I be rolling about on the floor and some kind of death throes and the poor lady being, you know, forced to sit there and say, well, do we let him die? Well, I've, you know,
sure.
It's a horrible responsibility to put on someone. So so I figured I'd go to Aho, and there was another reason. I have this, well, I really don't want to be burned or buried. I'd rather be, excuse the language, I'd rather be bird shit or coyote poop. And that was the other reason for Aho, because one of Palmer's finest, Marshall Clymer, resides at the Curly School during the winter. And I could trust him to take my cadaver out to the desert for its proper
disposal.
Disposal, exactly.
For passing on, right.
Yeah.
Okay. So 87 days have gone by. What were you typically doing in Aho?
Well, in Aho itself, I was just waiting for my demise. But, which may sound a little strange, but I had prepared myself. I believe in our last interview, I talked about some of these things.
And, right.
And I was ready for it. And it just wasn't coming. In fact, I was feeling better and better every day that went by. So this was the result of a fellow named Joe, who I call a voodoo doctor, and a wonderful dentist in Tijuana, who did some things that Chinese medicine says should be done, and now modern medicine, like removing all the amalgams in my mouth and my metal bridge and my metal cap, and that, along with an antifungal drug, I just felt better and better and better. So I tried to get some outfits like the Mayo Clinic to sign me up, but as I believe we discussed once, I have a little black heart.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you know, their study would kill me. And I said, well, you know, I don't have any time left anyways. What difference does it matter?
If it's useful.
Yeah. Well, they said, you know, they didn't want me dying in, you know, their study. It was okay if I died of cancer or whatever, but not from, yeah. Their
was this the Mayo Clinic that's down there in Arizona?
Yeah,
okay.
In Scottsdale. And I also called a naturopath in Scottsdale because I'd been reading about vitamin C infusions and how effective they were. And in fact, I'm walking proof of how effective they are. And so I and the naturopath couldn't see me for a month and a half or something. I said, well, you know, I don't have a month and a half. So I came across a place in California that did the vitamin C infusions, and I went there for a few weeks. Well, until I ran out of money, and worked wonders. In fact, within a week, I could walk again.
You've been cataloging a number of changes, one a location, a variety of things you were doing, dental work, et cetera. But you're focusing down on that that one factor of the vitamin C right now as the discernibly a difference, big difference that happened.
Well, one of many, but there is a consistency through all of this. And is going to be the title of the book I'm writing about this, and it's called Love to Life.
Okay.
Because instead of being loved to death, everywhere I went, I was embraced, whether it was doctors or bums on the road or Curly School or wherever. I was just just embraced and surrounded by love. And even here in Palmer, you know, as much as I sometimes complain about them, you know, the somewhat strange Pentecostal folks over in Wasilla and their prayers, you know, I don't know if it was vitamin C, if it was prayers, if it was antifungal drugs, if it was the doctor in dentist in Tijuana. I have no idea what it was, but one thing was consistent, and that was the love.
Okay. Got that. You brought some papers with you.
All these are just some poems. You know how I am about my poems.
That's true.
We might want to leave those for David, or I could read a few.
Well, I'm thinking we can do both. I'm a why choose guy. You know, we can maybe do you find that there's a poem there that captures maybe the experience or the present moment or your reflection upon what you've just done? We could read that, and then we'll leave the rest for David.
Well, okay. I could do that one. One here. Well, I have two. I'll do two of them.
We can do two.
Okay. I have one here that I call Warm and Ready.
Warm and Ready.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'll read it. Last night, old Mr. Death came visiting me. He mentioned that it was time for me to get ready. He brought him a big book called My Lives and had me take a look. He flipped back 1,000 lives or so, and what do you know? As we went through, there was me and you and you and you and you and you. He said, "It's okay. Look, to see what's to come." And I went 1,000 lives or so to the very end and saw 1,000,000 faces I knew and 1,000,000,000 more who knew me. And you and you and you and you. And everyone was smiling at me with love and affection. And you and you and you and you. And I felt warm and ready.
Oh, very. When did you write that? Was that a while ago or recently?
This was just as I was leaving Ajo to California, February 25th.
Okay. So do you have any a sense of how to describe perhaps the impact of the last few months on your poetry or perhaps on you as reflected in your poetry?
Well, the last few months have left me in a strange thing. I don't know about my poetry, but it's just very curious. It's very strange to be ready to die and then find yourself alive. And it's not just myself. It's the people around me, too, who look in somewhat astonishment as I come walking down the street. Because the last time they saw me, they probably never thought we'd meet. I'm starting to roam.
Whoa, that's okay. Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah. So that's, I don't know if it's really had much effect on my poetry. I've always kind of thought the same way, and my thought process hasn't changed. Just my realization of, or lack of realization of, that I'm still here. It's just, you know, and I'm pretty sure I'm not a specter or ghost, that it's really me.
Well, you look pretty solid sitting in that chair right now.
I feel fairly solid.
So now that you've been back a week or so?
Yeah, about 2 weeks.
2 weeks, okay. What next? How does it, I mean.
Well, and that was the realization that and the other way of putting it is, you know, I sort of put my my finger to my lips and went, what do I do now? It's, you know, when you've sort of reached the end of the road, so to speak, you know, traveling Wilbury's sort of thing, and then you turn around and here you are. What do you do? Well, it's not just even next. What do you just do?
Do. It's, so far, what kind of answer are you either noticing emerging or have come to or see evolving?
Well, you know, I when you sort of return to life, you have, I think, a responsibility to get the message out.
Okay.
I don't know exactly what that means. There's certain, you know, spiritual revelations, I suspect, would be the best way of putting it, that you know you have to not only accept but live up to. There's quite a few
things. So you spoke earlier about a book. Is this emerging as a way to encapsulate and focus what you're doing?
Well, yes, both the trip, the things that people did to me, and the things that I did for myself, because a lot of this has to do with proactive choosing of therapies and remedies for what had been viewed as an incurable situation, and getting that out. So not to say that it would work for everyone, but at least letting folks know. And then, of course, there is, as I said, that whole love to life issue, which is just so important to me.
Mm-hmm. Can understand that. As you have left Southern California now, and you're back here, are you continuing a connection with some of the people that provided you with medical support there or here?
Very much so, primarily because I can't get the treatments here in Alaska. Not only are they frowned upon, but they're actually... I guess the best word is denied. The the vitamin C, which is a proven anti-cancer therapy, and especially there's a Dr. Ki Chen in Kansas, the University of Kansas Medical Center, who has just done fabulous studies, but. Because they're not done by a pharmaceutical company, they're not considered science for some bizarre reason. So the FDA doesn't approve it, blah, blah, blah. And of course, the fact of the matter is there's no money in it. Vitamin C can't be patented. So it's a very interesting thing. And once again, I'll put out the disclaimer. This worked for me, and it's been shown to work for other people, but it might not work for whatever your or someone else's particular situation is. And I've tried to be very careful about that these are things that have worked for me and just, throw it out there and let people see, but not ever recommend that they do it. Find out is my mantra on that. Go find out.
Okay. You said you had a second poem. Maybe it's time to do that one.
I do. Actually, maybe I'll give you three.
Oh, okay. We can do that.
I have one here called Why Arizona?
Oh, perfect.
Well, exactly, except for most people don't know that Y is actually a town in Arizona that is borders Ajo.
Ah, okay. Which,
but it's a
intriguing,
a tiny little town on the nation is actually the proper way to put it. So, Y Arizona, nearly Zen but purely Tao. I quit my narcotics and psychotropics too. I gave up my cane and waddle not walk. Oh, the pain. Yes, the pain is glorious because it reminds me I was born, and that in itself is wondrous. Not a masochist, but I know I'm alive, so much better than being oblivious. So that was Why Arizona. And
so did you write that in Why?
Yes, actually. That was written in Why. A little bit week or two before the last one. I had just gotten there, February 13th.
Okay.
I'd just been out of Alaska a month. In fact, I left Alaska January 13th and finally got to Ajo in February 13th. So.
Okay.
And then the third one that I have here, excuse me one second.
Sure. So did you find yourself writing more there, or was there some sense of inspiration as you were going along this trip?
No, I thought about it, which is a typical thing for anyone who writes. They think a lot about actually sitting down and writing and seldomly actually achieve that, except in those few moments that it strike you. I am going to find, it's not it. This poem is called Lone Soul. And it is about the trip.
Well, it looks like.
Oh, must be here.
There you go.
Okay, yeah. It was in order. This poem is actually about the trip. The return trip.
Ah, okay.
And I call it Lone Soul. Give me a road, morning soft views, snowy mountains against the wild blue, white spruce smelling, so sweet. Give me a road, and I'll find my own heaven under my feet. Give me a road, midday frog pond, dark black oak forest, rolling hills above the coastal plain, burning, bubbling asphalt. Give me a road, I've nowhere to be from and nowhere to go. Give me a road, vast prairie, an inland sea where sunset spreads from arm to arm on yellow grass tide. Give me a road, I'm so sorry, my sweet mama. I've seeds to spread, those rolling, rumbling wheels. There's something missing here. Sorry about that.
Ah. Here we go.
I'll read that last stanza again. Give me a road, I'm so sorry, my sweet mama. I've seeds to spread, those rolling, rumbling wheels. Shows me that where I'm at is where I'm meant to be.
Oh, okay. Nice poem. Is that the last poem you've written? Or have you been doing some stuff here?
I've got a few new ones.
Okay.
Some which are... Well, shoot, we're here reading poems. I'll read poems. You can always cut them out. I've got my most recent one has to do with a curious thing about Facebook and a curious complaint that I sometimes get that my Facebook page says I'm from Embuto, New Mexico. And in my heart, I am from Embuto, New Mexico. I wasn't born there. And folks say, well, you're from where you're born. And I don't think so. I think you're from where your heart comes from. And I was reminded of this fellow who calls himself a song and dance man who claimed to be from Gallup, New Mexico, but had actually been born in Duluth, Minnesota. And I suspect the change in his name from Robert Zimmerman made all the difference. So, so there you go. So I'll read that. It's called I'm from Embuto. Duluth or Gallup, song and dance man. Embuto or Marymount, son of a missile man. Does where you're born define where you're from? I'm from so many places, still I haven't never gotten nowheres. There is a point the view from the river bank and the boatman's gaze are the same ripple as the Green River passes by, Cairo or Memphis, at some time. It is the same with more or less baggage. Does from define who we are? For sure, folks define us by our froms, my voice desiccated by the radio. The folks say he's from Marimont. He says he's from Embuto. If we knife him while he's thirsty, maybe he won't bleed so much.
Okay, interesting last line.
It is a little peculiar, but it's actually the first line. It just ended up at the
same
end.
Yeah.
And I keep saying Marimont, but actually it's pronounced Marimont.
Marimont, right.
Yeah, because that's where I was born.
Well, I've been here with Greg Gussie for almost a half hour. And what he has been doing is describing both a recent trip, a return to Palmer, and in some respects, what comes next. Do you have any last comments here as we finish up this return interview?
Yeah. It's good to be home.
All right. Thank you, Greg. Okay.